Now, a motion picture so grand, so magnificent, and so vast, it spans 7,000 years.
No way!
Yes way!
But it starts with Bill.
I'm Bill S. Preston!
Who is Joan of Arc?
And Ted.
Noah's wife?
We are in danger of flunking most heinously tomorrow.
A force from the future.
Can we go anywhere we want at any time?
You can do anything you want.
Is putting history at their fingertips.
Let's reach out and touch someone.
They're traveling through time.
How's it going, royal ugly dudes?
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Excellent!
Execute them.
Bogus. How's it going, dude?
Spectre, stay clear.
And they're making a big impression.
Historical babes.
Now they're home.
Buddy, get together. Remember who your buddy is.
To trash the 20th century.
We got a live one here.
Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, Napoleon.
We're from history.
Billy the Kid.
Oh my God.
Joan of Arc. Sigmund Freud.
Tell me about your mother.
You a musician?
Beethoven.
Genghis Khan!
Abraham Lincoln.
Party on, dudes!
Socrates. George Carlin.
We're history.
If you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of?
69, dudes!
Bill and Ted's...
Excellent! Excellent!
Excellent adventure.
Party on.
Dude.
What
are
the
good
skip if I want to do? Oh, whoa, whoa.
Welcome to Recap and Gown, a podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn, David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. I watched Airheads for the first time in a long time. Did you know that the radio station is right next to Nakatomi Tower, or what? Played Nakatomi Tower.
Did not know that.
Because I looked over at him like, no way.
Same universe, huh?
That's the fucking place. But apparently in the same universe, there's a small little radio station in the same plaza as Nakatomi Tower. So that kind of blew my mind. Funny movie, though.
It is a good movie. We can do it for the pod, I think. They're probably college kids, right?
I'm sure they're supposed to be teens, but those guys are in their mid-30s or late 40s.
Those are old men.
They're old. They're old. But there's some funny moments, some funny Adam Sandler things that go on. There's just a lot of folks who show up and like, Joe Mantegna? Who the fuck thought Joe Mantegna should play a DJ?
He's got a good voice for it, though. I could buy that.
And he does, and he is great.
Yeah.
So well, check it out.
Hey, very nice. Very nice. Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief time variant and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. I'm trying to think. I think we were catching up on the Equalizer series.
The Queen Latifah Equalizer?
No. Denzel.
Oh, because there's a TV series, The Equalizer, starring Queen Latifah.
Yes.
Denzel. I didn't know which series.
Washington?
Denzel Washington.
He's good.
But yeah, it's three is on Netflix. So we got, we had two. It's one of our remaining, one of our last Blu-rays from Netflix. Mm. We got two. Mm-hmm. So we watched it.
It's Equalizer in Europe, right? He just equalizes things in another continent now.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Because at the end of the first one, he like it's like, ooh, I'm gonna use Craigslist or whatever, and then you're like, oh, and two, we're just gonna be neighborhood equalizing. Nope. International equalizing. I don't know what happens in the third one.
I saw that he was a producer, so I assumed it was, where do I feel like, it's what Adam Sandler does. Where do I feel like taking my family on vacation for 8 weeks?
Yeah. Well, Adam Sandler does it like, one better.
Italy. Let's do it.
Where do I want to take my family for vacation for 8 weeks, and what smoking hot woman do I want to make out with me as my wife in this movie? Like, could that's the Adam Sandler formula. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true.
It also may have continued to streak. I saw it on Twitter, so now I'm fact checking. Give me a minute to see how much it actually made, if I can find it.
It is true.
Okay, all of his equalizing. It's so equal that each movie has made $109 million worldwide.
The exact same people have gone to see all three, and no one knew, and no one has dropped off.
Yeah,
yeah. I've never seen any of them in the theater, but I'm in. Well,
wow.
People have died, so he's had to find, you know, some people to.
I think the Equalizer series keeps you alive. I think it turns you into a Blue Zone person.
A 70s TV series being remade to the modern day, and everyone's like, "I'm in, man." Don't know why.
Next, Beretta. Okay.
Boy, Beretta.
Dana, what are we talking about? Where can we get it, and what is it about?
Where can we get it? I forgot to do that one. Hang on. We are watching Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure from 1989. Mm-hmm. And if you bear with me one minute.
1989!
A number. Another summer.
Sound
of the funky drummer.
Sorry. Whenever you say 1989. Yeah, yeah.
You have to do it.
No, it's good.
Say 1979. 1979 is going to, I'm going to sound Smashing Pumpkins on you. It's going to, it's just a nightmare.
That's right.
No, that was good. It filled in the time while I looked up. Okay. Cause I know it's available on the Maxes of the world.
Not if you're at my house. My shit was all fucked up again. Yeah. I was getting a quarter of the screen again. It started playing. And then when it showed the production house, like whatever company made it, all of a sudden, screen went black for about a millisecond. Then it came back, and it was the top left corner of the screen, and that's fucking it. Should, I had to pay for this piece of shit. Like, you got
an Apple TV. Get an Apple TV.
So it's on Max. If you can get your Max to work, according to Just Watch, which we have discovered is not this next one is not a real thing. Paramount Plus via Apple TV, supposedly it has never worked in the history of this podcast.
They think every movie is available on that, don't they? Like everything you can watch there.
They do. Also, if you have DirecTV, so these are all you can stream for free, quote unquote, if you subscribe. Otherwise, it is rentable on everywhere you can rent things. Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, YouTube, Vudu, Microsoft, Redbox, DirecTV, Spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you can get it. Okay, and then the synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes. Bill and Ted are high school buddies starting a band. However, they are about to fail their history class, which means Ted would be sent to military school. They receive help from Rufus, a traveler from a future where their band is the foundation of a perfect society. I don't think you had to write it that way. But
sure didn't. That's awkward. That's clumsily worded.
What the fuck? With the use of Rufus's time machine, Bill and Ted travel to various points in history, returning with important figures to help them complete their final history presentation.
That's basically it. I don't think they missed anything or like misrepresented anything. It's maybe a little bit too much information, but yeah, that's pretty good.
Everything there is good.
Dave, if you could give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
There's some folks in this one. As Bill S. Preston Esquire, Alex Winter. What happened to Alex Winter? He's done some things. But, Ted Theodore Logan, played by Keanu Reeves.
It's Keanu.
It's Keanu.
Reeves. George Carlin.
I think this kid might have some kind of future ahead of him, but we'll see. I don't know.
He's got moxie.
Reeves, George Carlin as Rufus, and then a bunch of nobodies play the famous folks. Do you want me to say them? Or I guess
I didn't recognize a single one of them. Even like the parents, the dads, I didn't recognize nobody.
Recognize one, but that person might be my IMDb.
I'll say the history.
There you go.
Mr. Ryan was Bernie Casey from UN Jefferson.
From
Revenge of the Nerds. Always funny. Oh, one of them was Jane Wiedlin from The Go-Go's. Was Joan?
Oh my god,
that's the one.
Fantastic.
She was the who was she?
Just one of the
Go-Go's. One of the princesses?
No, she's the movie. Joan of Arc.
Wow. Weird choice.
There's a bunch of
a bunch of also rans. Let's go around and give some memories of the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
I guess I remember like the first time, though. I know I've seen it as like a kid, probably parts of it on like some, you know, HBO or TBS or TNT. Definitely saw it as a kid, but I think as I mentioned, or I don't know if I mentioned while we were recording, the sequel, Bogus Journey, was my fucking jam. And I made my mom and my brother record that shit off of HBO. I was like, I need this in my life. I don't know what's wrong with me about Bogus. In
my life. Yeah.
I need this.
Yeah.
All right.
Had to record it off of HBO Max. Not, I had to. I was supposed to call it HBO Max. No.
It's not even HBO Max anymore.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
Yeah. Great.
Dave, memories for you.
High school. I'm sure someone had a VHS tape.
Probably.
In someone's basement. Like, this movie's great. I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of dumb. I don't know. I don't remember thinking it was like particularly funny, but being interested in the history stuff because I was a nerd. And
same.
That's the stuff that I was interested in.
Yeah.
This journey is it's the one. It's funny.
See, so in my mind, I saw this in the theater when I was 4. Doesn't make a lot of sense thinking about it. Like, my parents wouldn't have wanted to see this. It's hard to imagine my brother at like 7 years old begging them to go see Bill and Ted. So like, it's more likely that late 80s, early 90s teenage babysitter brought it over to watch. My parents were like out for the night or something. But I remember seeing this at a very young age and trying to do the Wild Stallions air guitar thing and not understanding how to make it work and getting really frustrated that I couldn't do that. I tried it a lot of times. And looking back, like Dana, I'm a much bigger Bogus Journey fan. Didn't realize until I saw this.
You guys are crazy. That movie sucks. Bogus Journey is
dope. They got the people robot usses. Yuck.
Melvin? They got a dude with the butt with the on his butts? Front, I think.
Yeah,
like,
No, that's, Death is there. Death plays bass, upright bass. You know, Happy Bogus Journey is
man.
God made rock and roll to ya.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. It's a lot better. Dana, did it make the grade for you or should they have held this back?
Okay, I'm going to like talk about this a little bit later, but I feel like Loki and the Avenger movies have broken my brain when it comes to time travel, and I kept just getting really upset. You can't do
that's
that.
That's reasonable.
And we'll talk about it. So it was fine. It was pleasant. Dave and I were talking about this before we started recording. It's 90 minutes. Never going to get mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love that.
Love it.
Early Keanu Reeves, he was great. Not a lot of other people you have to really worry about. It's pretty low stakes. Not a bad way to spend 90 minutes. I will give it a B minus.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
They're like Southern California. That affect really bothered me after like 20 minutes. It's a lot. And it's everything they say. There's like no intelligence at all. It's just like, whoa, dude.
That
annoyed me, but the rest was great. And the fact that they kind of learned something was fun through history. Because that's something that I appreciate. I appreciate history. And the occasional laugh, Napoleon on the water slides. I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
I also don't know why I thought that was funny.
More on that. I don't know why I thought that was why.
Well, all right.
Bonjour.
if that's how he was, I would have liked it a lot better. He wasn't,
but he wasn't
Gerard Depardieu.
No, it's and the way that those guys played those characters coming into contact with modern society, there was some funny stuff there. And then, it was good. 90 minutes, unobtrusive. I got through it and I'm like, you know what? Yeah,
it goes down easy. I'll give you that.
I laugh sometimes. I appreciate that. Thanks, all right,
guys. Well, I guess you can call me the cheese because I stand alone. This is a bad movie. I might have only chuckled once, and it was barely a chuckle. My main problem with the movie is that it has this really like bare bones plot, and then they like stack a bunch of unnecessary stuff on top of it that kind of prevented the movie from going anywhere. Watching it, I kept thinking they should have made this like an Encino Man plot. They go get Napoleon or Socrates or whatever and like hang out with him for a couple of weeks and then nail their assignment. Like, to me, that makes a better movie because I didn't get to know any of these historical figures at all. Like, they go and get them and don't talk to them. It's not like
that's interesting.
Sit down with Joan of Arc and have a conversation.
I'm like, why
go collect them?
Why was Billy the Kid the coolest? That's a fascinating thing to think about.
It just had a lot of questions. Yeah.
I don't know.
They just, I think they had the right idea for this movie. You take these two dopes and like send them back in time. Okay, cool. That's why Bogus Journey works. The characters work, but all of this gotta catch them all Pokemon nonsense where we're just scooping people up and like, yeah, we got them now. We're not gonna do anything. I thought that they've had way too many historical figures to actually give any of them anything on the screen to do. So bummer for me to say this, but yeah, it should have held this one back.
Sure.
Fun facts before we get into the recap in the segments.
So this started as the two writers, like a stand-up routine that they would do where they just acted like dumb surfer guys that they ran into in minutes. And have audience members ask them historical questions. So that's kind of how it started.
Okay.
Originally it was meant to be more like sketches, not like a whole film based on them. It's kind of like the Kentucky Fried Movie, which I can't remember.
Sucker was like that. Those movies. I'm fine with that. Rock and Roll High School was just sketches.
That's fair. But one of the writers, Chris Mathis, his dad, I think, is Rick Mathis, who wrote I Am Legend.
Oh,
and some other movies like Omega Man. Wow. Like he's a big sci-fi writer.
Omega Man and I Am Legend, huh? They're basically like the same movie.
Well, I think he wrote.
Was it the crooner Johnny Mathis?
Oh. No.
Wait, let me make sure I'm quoting this correctly. It's in here somewhere. But yeah, so like the dad was like, "Hey, I think you have something. You should do the whole movie just based on these two idiots." Yeah, Richard Mathis, whose novels changed the horror and sci-fi genre forever. And he wrote a bunch of Twilight Zone episodes. So, like, that's one of the screenwriters' dad. And was like, hey, I think you have something with these guys, so you should make the whole film about them.
The guy who broke his glasses, even though he had all these
books. It's not fair. It was time now.
I hope he wrote that one. No, Dave, he didn't write that.
He might have.
I don't feel like looking it up. So he was like making about them originally, which I honestly think until I was reading about it, I think this is a better movie, but it's just these two idiots go cause some of the greatest tragedies in history.
That's definitely I like that more.
That would have been cool if they were going through history and just fucking it up
just
and then
accidentally
come back
fucking everything up.
And they come back to the reality of what they've done. That would have been something.
Yeah, I would like that a lot better.
I think they felt it could have been a little dark, but I just think it's funnier. It's almost like a Forrest Gump wound up doing things accidentally that like impact. Sure like did. There's a way that it could have done it. I think it would have been funny.
I think you can do it if they're old enough tragedies. Like if they're the reason the Leaning Tower of Pisa leans, like, okay, fine. If it's like, oh, they caused 9/11, I'm like, well, that's not going to do it. But no, if it's old.
Yeah, it's like they caused the sinking of the Titanic and the crashing of the Hindenburg. Dark, but like weird little quirks that like
if they caused London Bridge to fall down. Fine.
Yeah,
there was a Forrest Gump sequel, and I'm not entirely unsure. Maybe he did cause 9/11. I'm not aware of that for whatever reason.
They're the reason why the Sphinx doesn't have a nose. I feel like there's like cartoons that have done some of these.
There for sure are. It's just Wile E. Coyote cartoons.
Yeah, so I think they could have done quote unquote tragedies, but like silly things that like. You know, they cause something to happen so the Mona Lisa doesn't smile. So then, you know, like what something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would have been funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this film was originally finished filming in 1987, but
so much sense to me.
Yep.
This movie, the financiers.
It looks 85, but it came out in 89. I'm like, this looks
They also the opening scene says San Dimas 1988, and I'm like, well, the movie came out in 89, why are you talking about 88?
Well, I thought it was like one of those things where like, you know, oh, we filmed it in 88, not realizing it would come out in 89, but no, it was filmed in 87. It's
supposed to be set in the future.
It was shelved because the financier went bankrupt, but I think he winds up coming back because it was Dino De Laurentiis, and I think they own Hannibal, Silence of the Lambs.
I went to a Jada restaurant. Is that a different De Laurentiis?
A different De Laurentiis.
I think it's a different De Laurentiis. But I think it's the same people who own Silence of the Lambs. I think. Don't quote me.
But it's the same as Oscar De La Renta, I believe, right? Yes. Same family.
I don't. What do we even do?
Names are spelled and pronounced differently. Probably not.
Yeah. course. So they went bankrupt. This other company, it almost went straight to cable. On what channel? I don't know. But that's why
Superstation? I don't know.
I know, like in 1987, mm-hmm. like what?
Who I don't know where it would have gone out? To.
Right?
Maybe HBO, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know if these are fun facts, but they are facts about the film.
Okay.
Dino De Laurentiis is Giada's maternal grandfather.
Oh, shit. Same really? Family. Nepo babies galore associated with this film, it turns out.
That's fun.
All right. Fun. Well, let's go ahead and get into the recap and the segments here then. Dana, where do you want to get us started?
Sure. Let me pull my notes back up. Okay. So I know we kind of talked about it in the Rotten Tomatoes recap, but I just want to call out. So like the reason why this history project is so important is because Bill and Ted are flunking history. And if they flunk history, they flunk out of school. How has it gotten to this point? No one called the parents earlier? What's going on?
Bill's dad's a lot of others,
and there's a lot of other stuff too. I mean, it's where's math and science and all this? They must be getting super F's if you know a regular F will flunk them out of school. But
well, Dave, same thought. I've never seen two more eloquent characters in a high school film. Like I don't know when this became like a trope of the burnout skater who or surfer who also like has an amazing vocabulary. It's the same thing they did with Clueless. Like the guy has a great vocabulary, and it's not what they did with Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He can't read and write. So like somewhere along the way between like Fast Times and this, we got this trope. It may have come from this. I don't fucking know. But like they had to have been kicking ass in English. Like they use all the big words correctly every time. So, they must be super failing everything.
Well, if they're... I don't know about the big Socrates.
Well, that's not a big word to name. They weren't picking up less. But, like, I don't heinously care. Very well and egregiously. And, like, they know these big fucking words.
If you're doing well in English, just come on, man. Get her. It's the Socratic method, but Socrates.
Yeah, Socrates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Socratic. Yeah. Socrates. Nah, whatever.
That's right. Man. Socrates.
I'm over it. I'm not mad about it.
You seem mad. You seem mad.
Not mad,
but yeah, that's the thing that didn't make sense. I would say, like, a quick shot of a report card. I don't know, just but yeah, they were going to be flunking out.
Yeah,
their parents have no idea.
Well, again, Bill's dad is busy. Bill's dad is busy fucking a teenager on Bill's bed,
like a bee in music. Maybe they take music and that's holding them up. But this F in history is gonna push them over the
instruments. They don't know how to play their instruments,
they kind of.
I mean, Keanu's got a legit Fender and can't play it.
No, but they need better instruments. But yeah, okay. So you mentioned it. Bill's dad is busy. So I didn't put it in the notes, but it kept popping up into my mind. Bill's dad is married to a woman who they offhandedly say, wasn't she a senior when we were freshmen? So Bill's dad is calling. Yeah. Yep.
Different time.
She's young. She's young.
Yeah, she's real young, and they don't make
22,
it like,
probably 21.
Probably 21. It's not a thing where it's like, oh, we're all judging Bill's gross dad. It's like, look at Bill's dad kicking ass. And I'm like,
Hold on. Because it's true. Yeah, everybody's very impressed. They live in an awesome house with this giant pool. He has this young, hot blonde girl. Yeah. And at one point, he's basically like, here's some money, get the fuck out of here. I'm gonna bone down your stepmom in your bedroom. Ted's like, your dad's gonna fuck your. He doesn't say it.
Yeah, your dad's going for it on your bed. Driving around in a dope ass convertible Ford Escort. Like they were living the life.
It's 80s in Southern California. He's probably working for a defense contractor, making tons of money, and hot wife.
Yeah,
they seem to be
safe bet.
To be figuring out,
okay, you know, that was my question. Like, what? Anytime, like, I'd be like, what does Bill's dad do? Because Poland.
I'm sorry, guys. Well done, he sells cocaine. It's 89. Well, 87.
It could be cocaine.
He's just like a straight-laced, normal-looking older white man, though, with a beard and a cardigan.
You look at Pablo Escobar and tell me that dude looks like he sells cocaine. Standalone mustache, pudgy, shirt tucked into his sensible slacks.
He's designing Sidewinder missiles for Raytheon. 100%.
100%. Oh, he killed a lot of people.
Yes, he did.
So there was that. I'm glad we had that little tangent. Also, I was like unclear of the timeline. It is Southern California, so it could really have been any time of year.
Could have been.
Right.
But these presentations seem like a huge deal, and they're, if they don't pass, they are flunking out of school, and Ted will get sent to military school. So you're thinking, well, like, I was like, wait, is it end of the year? Middle of
April,
the year?
May. Yeah.
Like April, you'd have May. To guess May.
And they were talking to those two ladies about going to prom. So I'm like, oh, this is April or May.
Those two April ladies.
But then I thought I saw at the end.
We'll talk about them later. We'll identify them later.
We'll talk about them.
But like at the end, after they're like, everything's been solved, I swore I saw Christmas lights in the garage. No?
I think you might have. I guess you could say this is like end of the semester, but like, are you really going to kick dudes out of school mid-year for fucking out? Like in the middle of the semester?
It seemed very unclear to me. And I really don't like when movies do that. But
I get that.
That was a nitpick. Okay. Then the next part is Rufus, played by George Carlin. So we actually open in the future him telling us about how great. At first, it's just literally this weird, somewhat sparkly background with this gold ring pop floating through the air. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
It goes on for a long time, too.
And this guy pops out and says, these are the 7 dirty words you can't say on TV. I'm like, this is crazy, this guy.
He talks about Buddy Christ after that.
Oh my God.
Yep, that all happens.
I love George.
But he just tells you how great the future is. Everything is clean. The dirt is clean. Everything's great. But the only way we get this great future is if he can go back in time and save Bill and Ted from flunking and like ruining the future.
Breaking
Are we
up.
Stealing from Terminator? They
need to stay together. We need to keep them together because if they break up, we're not going to have this great world. Yeah,
see, it's stealing from Terminator, but they wait 88 of the movie's 90 minutes to explain why. It's like, we have to keep these two together to save the future. Because we'll tell you later. I'm just like, well, I'd like
he
to
doesn't
know
give
specifically
a, you're
why
right, he doesn't give a full explanation until the end. You're right.
Until the very end. Right before the credits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can just talk about it now because I didn't really put time for it. We learned that their music is what breaks down all silos and brings peace and harmony across the galaxy.
This didn't make a lick of sense to me. Okay. Like, there's a lot of very prolific songwriters I can think of. People that make incredible music, meaningful lyrics, all of these things. Not one of them has had, like, a city organize itself around their music. Even Key West wasn't like, we turn ourselves over to the Parrotheads. Like, no. Jimmy Buffett, people like him there, but it's not like the government set up their policies around his cheeseburger in paradise. Like, it's not going to happen.
The state of New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen, they seem to like him there. He could be.
But they don't make laws on him. He can do whatever he wants, but then they don't.
I think there's 6 or 7 days of the year that are Bruce Springsteen Day. I think that's kind of how it works.
Zoning based on his songs, and it's just. And not only that, 600 years later, they're 700. Still doing 700 years 700. Later.
That's when he said the year 2630. I'm like, what?
I thought it was going to be
2688.
I thought it was going to be like 2035. And I'm like, we're going way into the future. So it's like, not only is their music so profound that it changes the world, it changes the world for 20 generations. It's like, come on.
It's unclear. Like, so my brain was like really thinking, I'm like, what, how could this have happened?
How?
But I wonder if it's just like many years in the future, they're like, we're just going to pick some classical music and shoot it out in the universe to help us communicate with the aliens. And the aliens are like, this shit is dope. Who made this? Let's go back. And then like in between that communication, the aliens out in the universe bring their ways of having harmony to Earth, settle everything down on Earth, and then everybody gets across the galaxies.
Let's be honest. If we're beaming music out into space to get the aliens to come, we're going to send them Rush. Aliens would love Rush. It's all complicated and math-based shit. Like, they would get that.
At the time, aliens.
We sent those records out, right?
We did. The gold records are... Yeah,
so they're just floating out there, long as they have, a record player with the right needle on it.
That's what I'm saying.
They know what a photograph is.
Yeah, it's one of those type of things. And
proper
maybe,
adapter. Yeah, that'll be fine.
At this time, because everybody, whatever way you have of listening to music on Earth at the time you send that thing into space, the aliens have the same technology.
Of course.
I hope so.
Of course.
Yeah.
The aliens
yeah.
also using vinyl platters to make their music. That was when they
came,
in the future.
I guarantee you, when they came out with mini discs, they're like, we've already got Spotify up here. You guys
right?
Fucking behind.
Streaming shit for 20 years up here.
But their music could be Rush. I mean, technically, as of this film,
it could be
I've
Rush.
Never heard their music. Because he does go, when they start jamming in the garage, that he's like, it gets better. And I was like, well, there are two more films that we will probably not cover where it could get better.
For sure, but it just...
Yeah, Bill and I watched the third one. I fell asleep. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
No one, no one needed that. We didn't need it.
Anyway, but yeah, so I thought that was interesting. They save the future. They make the future peaceful. Yeah, like, yeah. 700 years. That's too much. That's
way
too
much
in the future.
Way too fucking much. Okay. Canterbury Tales, basically. They wrote Canterbury Tales, and now we're still talking about that in modern day. Get the fuck out of here. Canterbury Tales. Chaucer.
Took a whole class on Chaucer.
I was like, oh, I don't know if I've ever read.
You don't know
like
Chaucer?
Canterbury
oh, it's lame.
And the first and the first
I know
half
Chaucer
of the
is, but
it was just no, it was just half the first half of the class was just reading Canterbury Tales. Mm-hmm. Real, real carefully. I'm like, this is terrible.
Awful.
I don't think we ever
it's
did
awful.
That in high school. Anyway.
Oldie English. What's that? E to the end of old. Okay, that's all I remember.
Ye oldie English, yes.
Yeah, ye oldie. Yeah.
All I know of Chaucer is, isn't he in First Knight? Or what's that? It's not First Knight. It's the...
Black Knight? The
you mean
Martin
First Knight with Sean Connery?
No, the one with Heath Ledger. What
a
is
Knight's
that
tale.
One? Knight's
Tale. And yes, Knight's Chaucer tale. Is in that as like his little like bard buddy, basically, like singing his praises.
Paul Bettany, right?
Yes, it is Paul Bettany.
Yeah, okay. So Paul Chaucer is Paul Bettany in my brain. Yeah. And Chaucer was in A Knight's Tale.
Oh my God.
Where they played David Bowie's Golden Years, because that's a bop. Let's dance to it.
What are we doing? What are we even doing?
Medieval times, which right. they go to. Okay. Anyway, let's get back on this. So this is one of the things that one of the writers, Chris Matheson, was saying is like he was trying to avoid being sci-fi-ish because of who his dad is.
Yeah.
So maybe this is why I might allow this, but they are breaking all of the quote unquote time travel rules.
Sure are.
You are not supposed to meet future or past self.
Well, asterisk. I don't know where I've seen it before. I've seen a couple of times where it's like you can meet your past self, you just can't touch your past self. Because if you have physical contact, then you have the same atoms like interacting that like breaks the universe or whatever. I've seen that a couple of times where like you can talk to yourself, just don't touch yourself. There's a show on Disney Plus called Haley's On It. It's very cute. My son doesn't like it yet, he's too young. It's this girl who I think is like 13 and her future self comes to her and is like, you have to save the entire universe by doing all the things on this list. And it's like a lot of very silly things. But the last one is like kiss her best friend who she has a crush on. So she's like trying to do all these things to avoid having to kiss this boy who is like clueless that she's into him. It's very cute. But like her past self is like her mentor just like pops in all the time. Like, hey, man, get back on track. You got to do this shit. So like, I guess you technically can sometimes, but it's much more common that you cannot see your past self because it'll fuck everything up.
Well, because like I feel like you'll just keep there'll be like multiples of like yes. in the same space, and I just feel like that's really weird.
Yeah.
But like they give their future and past selves like tips of wind your watch.
Say hi to the
Bill's,
princesses for us.
Yes, yeah, give our love to the princesses for us. We find out like early in the movie, Ted's dad's keys are missing. Well, we find out later it's because future Ted stole them to leave them for current Ted. I don't know. So it just
his dad barely looked for those keys. They're right outside of his office. Like you walk past him twice a day.
When did the watch you didn't have to wind come out? I mean, that's this.
Apparently, sometime after 19.
Or is this like a really? I understand there are really nice watches you still have to wind, but man,
I have those. Yeah.
You have nice watches, but this is one that's on a massive leather band on
it's a Casio. He's got a Casio
yeah.
watch.
Yeah.
I don't
watch.
I don't get it. It must be really old.
I have questions about the power reserve. It should be at least 36 hours. Yeah. But also, how is it going to maintain time in the present as you yes. move through many iterations of the past?
Word to the theory of relativity. That doesn't work. That shit,
right? They should have given him a separate watch. Yeah. Because because him running behind actually doesn't ever actually affect them. There's that one point where they think they have 10 hours. Rufus tells them it's 2, but it's fine. Like they ran into Rufus anyway. So like,
and they still have an entire day. They still spend a whole day goofing off. So it's not like they really only have 2 hours.
A full 8 hour shift. They're like, oh, no, 2 hours. Oh no. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, it just, the watch thing, like, didn't really make sense because they wound up having a thing in the movie that negated needing it in the first place.
Sure did.
So, yeah.
But they steal keys. Actually, no, I have the escape from San Dimas jail later. So we'll get into that later. They also say, like, another rule of time travel is you can't do things that will alter the past. They take these people out of their timelines for, God, I don't know how long. How much time passes where they're in the present instead of in the past? They've also been to the present. How does that not affect their past? See, there Dana, is a book that they have. No one's reading ahead. Abraham Lincoln's not like, oh shit, I get fucking shot at that play.
There you
Mary
go.
Todd, we're not going. We're not going. See, we're staying our asses.
This is what bothered me the most, right? Because I'm not an ancient alien theorist, but I've watched a lot of that show because I used to smoke all the weed. And like, I don't... Okay, these are all very incredibly famous historical figures when they are kidnapped. You're going to tell me that all of these people vanish for some amount of time and then come back and no one ever talks about it? Like, I mean, Socrates would have been like, yeah, I went to Olympus. Like, I've been up there. I met all the gods. He'd lie about that shit, of course. Billy the Kid? Oh, Billy the Kid just went missing for a number of years and then came back like knowing what Metallica was or whatever. Like these people would have, they would come back with fantastical stories of the future at a minimum, especially the ones who speak no English. What did Genghis Khan say when he got back? I don't know where I've been. I don't know what language they were speaking.
I'm not going to do it.
Don't do it.
I could.
Don't do it.
I could, but I'm not going to do it.
Our mongol listeners
will never forgive us.
Fuck it. We'll just do it right now. Wow, the interactions with Genghis, the whole Genghis segment, hella racist.
I don't think they know who Genghis Khan was.
No.
He didn't club people to death. Why does he have a giant club? He's like Captain Caveman.
It was like 1209 AD. He has a sword. He's not clubbing bitches.
The bare minimum knowledge of the Mongol Golden Horde is that they were expert horse archers. He should be riding horses and shooting arrows. Like, that's his whole thing. They don't know who Genghis Khan is.
Chopping heads off and mountains of bodies.
Oh, yeah. Left
all over.
And also just raping his way all the way through all of Asia and most of Europe.
But at this time,
what's the percentage of people with his
DNA?
It's
way higher than you would think.
It's crazy.
It's a lot higher than you would think.
4%.
I will look it up. It's a lot higher than you might think.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but that's one of those things where you're just like, he's not a Neanderthal. Like, he's one of, I don't want to say not greatest and like he did the best job and we all, but like one of the greatest conquerors of just sheer conquering ability.
True.
Yeah.
And he's not clubbing bitches and grunting. He probably is grunting, but like, you know, another beat. So, yeah.
We can talk more about Genghis later. I have an answer here. It's 8% of
8%. That's double what I thought.
It's 8% of all men living in like Mongolia, China, and Korea, like the area that he was most active, and I guess probably part of
8%
India.
8% of men in China and Mongolia.
It's
a lot of men.
0.5% of the total male population, 16 million living male descendants. I don't know why I don't talk about how many women, but just the male descendants is 0.5% of the whole world. And
are
like 8%
of
Asian men. But I mean, he'd have descendants still. Like they would have had children. So I don't know why they're not counting the number of a number of women. But yeah, it's
maybe it's just easier.
8% of all like East Asian men.
Why? That's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah, so that's like they just needed like one quick little line that like said like, oh, when you take them, their time freezes or anything.
Sure.
Because these people just disappear, and I was just like,
that would make sense.
I can't fucking do that. Yes, you just can't.
It would be. All these stories for all these people. And then here comes Giorgio Tsoukalos, like, oh, I'm connecting all the dots. It was aliens for all of these.
It's
like,
a special
that's what happened.
It's a special kind of time travel where we can grab and then go back to our timeline and nothing's going to happen.
It's like you just put them like
behind. Yeah.
Yeah. You just put them right back where you took them and like nothing. It's like the perfect.
It's not
and
the
they
back
never
of the future.
Say shit.
It's not the Back to the Future theory where you touch anything, you see yourself, you're going to start to fade in the picture. This is going to be fucked up. Don't
even
do
the
that.
Butterfly effect, where it's like, it doesn't matter this what is, you do, you're fucking everything up.
No, this is pick whatever you like, and you can bring them back, and you're and even if you don't bring them back, it's going to be fine.
Doesn't fucking matter. They stole those princesses, I think, forever.
Yeah, they did not think about that.
Is it Endgame where you just put it right back and we don't cause a branch in the timeline? Now I got to go back and watch Loki. Sorry. This is what happened in my brain. I was like, we're creating branch. We got to have someone go cut up the branch.
Seriously, none of this.
I am Iron Man.
Well, then Loki happens, and then all of the time, it gets crazy. Okay, So yeah, those are just my thought on the rules. I'm sure I'm forgetting some rules of time travel, but those are the ones that really jumped out at me that I did not like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we go through time, and we'll just try to quickly bop through everybody. We've already mentioned some of them. We get Napoleon by accident.
Yeah.
For some reason, Rufus just wants to show him how the time machine works, which apparently the creators did not realize. It was originally a van, a time traveling van.
Oh.
They felt that was too similar to Back to the Future, so they went with the phone booth.
Have they never seen Doctor Who? Doctor Who literally has a fucking phone booth.
They like, didn't realize.
What the fuck?
Yes,
they didn't realize.
Like,
amazing.
That's the one. Come on, everyone knows that the TARDIS is bigger on the inside.
When was the first season of Doctor Who? 1960
something. 70.
It was 60s.
It went on for a long fucking time.
Wow,
you know, man. That's what they said. They didn't realize that Doctor Who travels in a phone booth.
No, what they thought was nobody in America knows Doctor Who, and they never
possibly
will.
63, holy shit!
It shows up for 25 years before this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they haven't crossed the pond yet. Jeez.
Doesn't matter.
They watched it and stole it, is what happened.
One British person or Irish person's like, wait a minute.
Hey, mate. Hey, bruv.
You got to do Doctor Who with me, right?
Isn't that how Doctor Who travels?
It's weird. Yeah. But no, it was all American, all like Southern California.
Oh my god,
it's great, man! Yeah, that's how they missed it. That's so fucking crazy.
Can't fucking believe it.
So I'm mad at it. I've been in my head using a British accent for like weeks because I've been watching a lot of Drag Race UK, and then in the moment I needed to be British, I fucking lost it. I just didn't have it anymore.
I don't have a good British accent. My D&D character sounds like he's an Ole Miss fan, but not an Ole Miss graduate. That's I've cultivated a specific type of Southern accent that I use for my character.
I learned how to say Michael Caine. You just say my cocaine. If you
my
cocaine talk, that's his cocaine accent. My cocaine.
That's
all I got.
Is same.
Yeah, same.
One word at
a time. My cocaine.
Okay, so Rufus is showing them how the time traveling phone booth works. So they go back. I believe the exact thing on my notes. I did handwritten notes, you know, in honor of a time traveling old movie. And we go to Austria in 1805, where France has just invaded.
Yeah.
Just pop it in. Just show them how it works. And then they're supposed to be popping out, but somehow they accidentally suck Napoleon into the currents of time, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Weird tubes of time. Again, it looks a lot like what's going on Loki, where we have branches everywhere.
No, it's tubular, man. Tubular. Get it?
Why didn't they say tubular? They really should have.
I don't know, because it wasn't a thing. That's not a thing. Is it a thing?
It was a thing.
Who said that first? Tubular.
Maybe by the time this actually comes out in 89, it's a thing. But when they were filming it in 87, it didn't exist yet.
Maybe this movie's why it became a thing.
Maybe. So they accidentally bring home Napoleon. And then this gives them the bright idea of, oh, shit, this is how we'll pass our history presentation. We'll just go through time and steal people and bring them back to San Dimas. Yeah. I don't see any problems with this.
Nope.
It's totally going to work. There's a picture of the Shaka greeting sign and tubular. I'm like, okay.
Big time hang ten Shaka bra.
I'm done looking. I'm done.
Because they accidentally bring Napoleon back and they have to go get other people, they're like, hey, Napoleon, we're going to leave you with our my brother Deacon. And then that's pretty much just they're like, okay, we're going to keep going.
Well, it's a good thing Deacon speaks fluent French. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Like, why would you leave this with him? Come on.
It's the American way of making someone who speaks a foreign language understand you, which is just speak loudly and slowly. Mm-hmm. Hey, ice cream. Like, doesn't help shit.
No. You're just screaming gibberish at them.
That's the America-centric form of just, yep. Why don't you understand me? I'm saying it loud in my language slowly.
And slowly in your face.
Thank you. Great. Ice cream. I'm like,
oh my God.
We will try to get into the adventures of Napoleon, but for now, we're going to keep going.
Napoleon!
Next up, now that they're like, hey, okay, this was also, sorry, a thing I didn't understand, or like when the teacher talks about their presentation, he's like, you were given your time periods, you should know what to do. I thought it meant you were given a specific time period.
Also what I thought.
That you have to do a presentation on. But then as we watch the presentations later, it seems like everybody's doing all of the time periods.
You're given your time slot is what he meant. Like, you know when you have to do this presentation. That's what I think he meant by you giving your time period.
And dude, you know what? There's too many kids in that class. Not the 2-hour block in that. It's not enough time.
We're going to get to the presentation setup.
I'm so mad about the presentation. So mad.
We have to get to it because I had tons of questions. Oh, so we got to leave time for it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we have to go get Billy the Kid. Sure. Which.
A lot of better
luck.
Yeah.
They landed in an old West town. And guess what? There were a lot of people who. Don't give a shit about in the old West.
Well,
just
I mean,
walking around.
There's people to get. Go get Wyatt Earp. You can go get fucking Bass Reeves. Like, there's people
Bass
to
Reeves,
get.
Bass Reeves, there you go.
Okay.
Go get Sam Houston. He's interesting.
I'm telling you, no one, the first name would be to go old-timey person, it'd be like Davy Crockett or Billy the Kid. People don't,
fair.
Bass Reeves, get out of
I wish it was Davy Crockett.
Doc Holliday. What are some other
sure.
ones?
Sure. Yeah, there were others. The
Gang. I saw Tombstone not too long ago. I have a liver disease. I'm gonna die soon. I'm gonna die real soon.
Didn't he have like tuberculosis or was it a liver disease?
Yeah, something terrible wrong with him.
He had tuberculosis.
I mean, Val Kilmer just being sweaty and weird color in the face for an entire movie, yet he's still able to draw his gun and fire. Just do all that stuff. I'm gonna say funny stuff, but also fall over and spit blood every so often.
He talks about that in his documentary, and there's just something he talks about that role, and there's like something he like chose to do, and everybody's like, "Fuck,
why are you doing that?
What's he doing? I'll be a huckleberry.
We can do it for the pod, right? That's what we can do for the pod.
Some of them were teenagers. They were supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm into it. We could probably do Young Guns.
Oh, we could for sure do Young Guns.
I have been wanting to do Young Guns.
We could for sure do Young Bones, absolutely.
Emilio! That'd be really good.
Yeah, can we get Lou Diamond, too?
Lou Diamond Phillips in that, too. Yep.
And Lou Diamond.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, we gotta focus. Okay, so they go back and get Billy the Kid. And in some of these, we get to see them, like, travel through that time period for a little bit. We get a little vignette. Other times, they're just in, snag somebody, and leave. So because Billy's the first, we get to watch them go to like an old-timey saloon and they order a beer and they're like, we didn't get carded. And it's like, because you're in 1870 fucking night.
You're
no
in a place
cares.
Where there's no law, man. There's nothing protecting
the
you
wild
guys.
Goddamn West.
You also didn't pay for those beers.
Correct.
He just took beers.
There's two warm, tall bottles of beer that may not be beer.
I wanted them to take a sip and realize it is not like a fucking Bud Light.
What the fuck is a sarsaparilla? Like, that's what I wanted to have happen.
Yeah.
Yes. I wanted to have that happen as well. Of course, because they're in the Old West, a brawl breaks out. They help Billy the Kid. And so Billy comes back to them. The funny part in the scene is their phone booth lands in between two outhouses. And we see it from the perspective of a man who's just farting away in an outhouse. It's never not funny.
Yeah. Main source of funny in those days? Beans.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were filled with beans, some shitting and farting. Yeah.
Some real beanie Philistines.
That's all they had.
So, so that's how we get Billy the Kid. He runs off with them. Everybody sees him disappear in this metal contraption that shoots up into the sky with lightning. And they're like,
What and the fuck? No one ever talks about it ever again.
Right.
Then he comes back and it's what,
when he comes again, back, no one mentions it.
We never see that part, which I was a little bummed about, but hey, this movie was a tight 90, so it's
thank
fine.
God. Thank God.
So we get Billy the Kid, the next stop. Let's get us some Socrates. They know his name is Socrates, but then continue to call him Socrates, which they was
do. Socrates. Annoying.
And they introduce him as Socrates. So they knew all along, but
Yeah. There is also a thing where I know it's like a little, I don't know if pedantic's the right word, but he looks like a very old man. Yes. And I'm sorry, in BC, old is like 42. Like he shouldn't look.
Well, this is what happens when like all the color gets stripped out of those statues and busts. Like you have a man with a beard. He looks like he's got a white beard because it's a white marble statue. They used to have paint on him. So like maybe he had like a thick, ruddy, like brown beard. We just think he's old because the statues look old.
I'm looking it up right now to see how old
Socrates.
Okay, he's 71.
Oh my God.
He did live to 71. Guy, right?
Wow. Yes. Well, was that him or Aristotle?
He was forced suicide by poison.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep, hemlock. Hemlock. Okay.
Yep.
See what I know?
History. 71. I'll be damned.
71. But I still feel like when they landed.
That's
if
ancient.
I have it,
in the ancient times, that is.
That's kind of old now.
They were there at 410 BC. So he would have been like 60. Okay.
Okay. That's all right then. Because he was pretty spry. He was moving around pretty well, but he looked old.
Yeah. But I was just like, people don't live that long. Okay. So then we get Socrates. They are, again, shouting at this man and miming things at him.
Hey,
because he speaks
Socrates, listen to us. Socrates, slowly. Whoa.
And they quote Dust in the Wind by Kansas.
Which
and
he
then
understands somehow. English wasn't even a language back then.
Picks up sand and they drop it. And then they quote, like, sand through the hourglass, each of the days of our lives.
Uh-huh.
Gold.
My God.
It's art now. It obviously affected people back then.
Take the good, take the bad, take them both. And there you have the facts of life.
Those are the facts of life.
Right? Come on.
Okay, so then next up is they just go to medieval times.
Yeah.
I don't think they tell us when, or I missed it, but it's England, 15th century.
Okay.
Sometime in the year 1400.
Love medieval times. You get chicken, you get dragon blood soup and a nice piece of garlic bread. It's great.
I mean, they really should have gone to 1066. Battle of Hastings is right fucking there. Hadrian's Wall. There's so many interesting things that happened at that time.
Or go to 1215. Runnymede.
Ooh.
For the Magna Carta.
No, we just go to medieval.
We just go to some random house.
Random castle with some dude who
the fifth? They mention a King Henry because they recognize the castle.
No, that would have been Elizabethan.
I don't know. Is that Mary 1500?
Queen of Scots? No, not 1500s, 1400s. Because 1400s? It's the 15th century.
Oh, so Henry the Eighth.
That could be Henry the Eighth.
Is it Eighth? Okay.
They should have been a bigger deal about that then instead of the babes.
They go to this time period, get distracted by babes.
Uh-huh.
They take no one. But they fight in armor and do a whole Star Wars thing and they fall down some stairs and we get to watch this whole thing and they don't take anybody from it. Not even the girls. They leave the girls behind because they almost get their heads chopped off, right? Isn't this when
they're not chopped off. He's got like a morning star, like a ball and chain kind of a thing. I will say, I was a little bit irritated watching them wear the armor. You ever seen somebody actual wear a suit of armor? That shit is fucking, it's dexterous as hell. You had to like run around it and climb and shit. Like I've seen people wear it and it's like, yeah, it's heavy, but like it's incredibly flexible because like it had to be. I'm riding a horse in this. Like it's a whole thing. And
there are spots around it. That's why you can move your arms. You want to stab
it's
somebody?
Got, like,
there's spots in the middle.
Articulation. It's wild.
It's not fully like that.
The
and
feet
let me tell
are
you.
Like bendy and shit. It's
I feel like in movies, they never, it's always
it's just
like,
clank,
oh.
Clank, clank, clank. I'm like,
I get so uncomfortable during scenes where people are about to be beheaded. I don't know what it is.
I think it's reasonable.
This movie, like Braveheart. What was Braveheart. That John Ritter movie that really fucked me up?
Don't stay tell tuned. Mom Babysitter's Dead. Oh,
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Great. Wild.
It's kind of like this, but yeah. They go through the TV, like in Pleasantville, and they're in the French Revolution. It's like, and he's just in there, and they're about to chop off his head. And there's just a big delay. It's really fun. Yeah. I'm terrified of getting my head chopped off for whatever reason.
It probably won't happen to you.
Probably won't, but not 100%.
Not guaranteed. It's probably not.
It's not zero. If anyone saw Oppenheimer, atomic bomb igniting the entire atmosphere and killing everybody, it's near zero, but not zero.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, but like maybe.
Yeah.
It might still happen. Yeah.
If George Carlin shows up with a phone booth, don't get in.
Don't get
That's
in.
How...
Well,
do not.
Just, I can only imagine. No, in the medieval times, the smells.
Oh, the farts.
You never see that in these movies. People, it would be so offensive to us. So offensive to us.
What was that? There's some so nervous going back London any further London? Than the 20th century, even. Yeah. Even close to the 20th
don't,
century.
Don't go back before like 1940.
Yeah. Yeah,
but there was some period in time for like two straight years that London just stank because like the river was just full of dookie and it got correct. Really hot. And it's like, yeah, no, like if you breathe, you're going to throw up. And it goes on for years.
Yep.
Leave. Uh-huh. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Continue. So they go back to medieval times. They almost get executed, but the executioners are Socrates and Billy the Kid, so they're able
to Socrates! Thanks, bro!
Let's go, Billy! Oh, okay, so then that happens. They escape, but I guess, like, Bill goes to dial a phone number. It doesn't work, so he dials another phone number. And I don't know what this place is called. I just kept calling it Future Headquarters.
Yeah.
Because they wind up in the blue room with the gold ring pop. And
bootleg Miss J. Alexander in the middle. That's. I kept on thinking, like, if Jay Alexander gained like 100 pounds, he would look just like that.
It's Clarence from.
Is that okay?
The E Street Band.
I thought it might have been, but I'm like, no. Why would he be in this? Okay.
Why not?
Big man.
Big man. The all big right. man joined the band, and then.
That's great.
They should have given him a sax.
But yeah, they wind up in Future Headquarters. They are like gods in Future Headquarters, but no one speaks to them and just does the air guitar strum at them. And then
everyone
people
there
come
speaks
out of the...
English. They could just tell them what's going on.
Everybody comes out of the woodwork and also does like a strum. Nobody says a word.
Just insane.
There it is.
Not a word. No one said a word.
And then
not
they
a
word. Get back in the time machine and leave. I don't
I don't know why you did this.
Yeah,
I guess you had
really
to make
weird.
It a full 90 minutes.
I guess. There are ways we could have, you know, done more. So then this, now we're on rapid fire. We got to collect historical figures. We got to go get Sigmund Freud, mm-hmm. Beethoven,
of course.
Joan of Arc, Noah's wife.
Miss of Arc.
Genghis Khan, super duper racist. When we pick up Genghis Khan, this is when my brain was like, you're taking people from timelines. The MCU has cooked my brain, and I'm very upset. Yeah.
Genghis Khan not being there changes literally the entire arc of world history. Like, it changes everything that happens after that.
Yes, blew my mind. And then we pick up Abe Lincoln. That's another one.
Never tried to say, hey man, don't go to Ford's Theater. Maybe don't go do plays for a while.
No. No, that play. I heard that play is not that. History says that play is not good. You,
my American
Mary
cousin,
Todd, should stay home.
Yeah, it stinks. Yeah, you sopdologizing old man trap. That was the final line before you got shot in the head.
Six Emperor Tyrannus.
Don't ask me why I know it, because
you're good at trivia, Dave. We were on a team together for him back in the day.
I know
we were good.
I don't know. Those weren't words though. Those weren't words that I just said. Apologizing?
So then...
Oh, man trap? That's not a word. Those are not words. But... Sorry. Continue.
So for some reason, after they get Abe Lincoln, the time traveling phone booth just starts to get wonky. They wind up in like a million BC.
Yeah.
The little antenna at the top of the phone booth. And they're like, again, the clock is ticking. We don't truly know how much time has passed in real time. But the time machine is malfunctioning.
Yeah, it is.
This is where I felt they are literally chewing gum so they can stick soda cans and tinfoil back on the antenna and make the thing work. Rufus had to travel to the past to give them a phone booth so they can travel through time to pass their history test. But Rufus is not available to give him a new time machine because he takes a different one back to the past or the future.
Rufus doesn't do anything at all. He shows up and he's like, here's how this phone booth that definitely isn't the TARDIS works. Have fun. Like, he didn't, hey, here's what you guys do. You have to get these people so you can pass your exam. He's like, yeah, just, it's, you can travel through time. All right. Hope you figure it
out. Good luck.
I'll never see you again. I'm like, dude, you guys
read. You guys read random shit in a history book. Just stop along the way and pick a random person that you find. Cool.
Go. Just do it.
Good. Do it.
I know it would negate the whole point of the film, but why not just show up with these people in the the future?
That would be
in
a
the
way
present.
To do it. Yeah.
Just be like, hey.
That would certainly do it. I brought them for you.
Spend some time with them. Learn about them.
Encino Man. There's your fucking... Rufus shows up. He's got three of these people. Not 20 of them. He's got three. And you learn about three people. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Different film. I think it still would have been good. So then somehow they get the thing to work. They wind up in the present. Clock's ticking. But they don't have Napoleon. So they take all of the historical figures to the mall to introduce them to San Dimas in the present, because that's what the presentation is. You have to take people from various time frames across history and say what they would think. I didn't know if it was about San Dimas in particular or the present.
It's what would they think about San Dimas in the present. Let's and like, frankly, like, not a hard, you don't have to research anything. There's no books you have to read first. Just take a guess. Write a story is basically what this is. Guess what they might think.
Based upon what you know about these historical figures, what would they think? That's all it has to be. Which, the ones they picked, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know. What would Joan of Arc think of fucking 1988 San Dimas, California?
She'd think it's like a heathen hellhole. She was super religious. Like, she'd be horrified by everything.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. So, they take him there, and then, like, we gotta go get Napoleon. This is where we can do quick hits on Napoleon. So... Deacon's hanging out with him. Deacon's what, maybe 11, 12. They take him to get Napoleon ice cream, which is not based on Napoleon. It is based on Naples.
Yes.
Doesn't Caesar matter. Salad and Caesar. No, it was invented in Mexico by a Mexican guy who was had some Italian ancestry, but it's stupid. That's stupid.
No. So just Napoleon gets to eat ice cream, Napoleon ice cream sundae thing. He gets to go bowling, but he cheats. He somehow figures out how the bowling scoring works, which if you ask anybody today, how do you score bowling without a machine?
I don't know, man. You get bonus points if you get stuck in a row.
I can do it too.
I can't do that shit.
But my elementary school
bag and everything.
No, that's X. If you get a strike in the first frame, it's blank. Next strike, still blank. You get the third strike, it becomes 30 in the first. It is complicated, I understand. But if you get a spare in the first, then it's
the next
whatever your next ball is becomes 10 plus whatever you got in your next ball or whatever. Yeah, it's
just give me a machine. I can teach
you.
My elementary school, this is what we did every spring as we did bowling in the gym, and then we went to the bowling alley, and they had invented electric bowling scoring by the time I was like in sixth grade, and they were like, nah, y'all are gonna sit down with a pen and paper and do it yourself.
You want to talk about
remember.
Inefficient gym class? We had 45 minutes in gym class.
Drive 20 minutes to Brunswick Zone.
We took a bus 20 minutes to bowl and then a bus 20 minutes back. 5 minutes to bowl.
Yep.
The most inefficient shit ever, but we did it.
Yeah, they were killing time. They're like, what the fuck are these idiots?
We had to wait. It was hard to get bowling.
It was hard.
It was hard.
I never got it. It was very much
in high school? Or?
Yeah.
It was high school elective bowling.
Interesting. Yeah. We had a bowling team when I was in high school, but I was not on it.
We had a women. Okay. We had a girls bowling team. Not a guys bowling team.
Okay. So Napoleon gets ice cream. He goes bowling. And then he finally escapes at one point. Or no, not escapes. Because he starts cheating at bowling, Deacon and his friends just fucking are like, let's ditch this asshole. And they leave him. And then he goes to, there just happens to be a water park in San Dimas called Waterloo.
Of course.
So he goes, Waterloo,
good escape if I want to do.
And Napoleon falls in love with water slides. So yeah. They have to go get him.
I get it. They're fun.
Yeah, they're super fun. They have to. So we get to see Napoleon go down a ton of water slides. It is very silly and fun.
He talks to a lot of very little children. I don't know why he was doing that.
I didn't love it.
It's shots of him down a water slide.
He's supposed to be a short, small guy. It's like, these people are my size. I can speak to them.
But he's talking about legit 6-year-olds.
He was 5'5". It's a dumb, stupid thing.
He was short-ish. He wasn't 4'7".
But yeah, he's picking up little kids and care. I didn't like it. So they get him from Waterloo, bring him back to the mall. Of course, the historical figures just don't wait in the food court. They run amok in the mall. There are shenanigans. They all get arrested. Joan of Arc takes over an aerobics class.
Why?
Beethoven is jamming out in the music store. I thought that one was fine. I didn't understand why he was. That made sense.
I don't know why he's playing speed metal, but like that makes sense to me that he would. That made sense to me entirely. I don't know why Joan of Arc does aerobics.
Yeah,
just like in Hobby Lobby buying all the crucifixes or something.
Music evolves. It does. It starts off, he's just playing like regular, and the guy's like, wait, listen to this. And he's like,
just synths everywhere. It just brings him all the synths.
Give him an hour, and it eventually becomes
speed also Beethoven.
Through the fire and the flames.
Listen, yeah, isn't he deaf at this point? Can he hear any of that?
My notes are, barely. Thank God they got him before he was deaf. Like, yes, you got him early before he got deaf.
Yeah.
Okay. But I thought what Beethoven was doing was fine. I don't know why he was considered causing a ruckus and had to get arrested.
They arrested him. He had a crowd cheering for him. The guy that works, it was like, hey, man, play all these instruments, please. Yeah. Like, the cops came to get him.
Let's sell
why.
Some merch. Let's get some goods out of here. Genghis Khan is going ham in the sporting goods store.
Of course he is.
Again, super racist and very
uncomfortable. Should have been shooting a bow and arrow or should have gone to
he was skateboarding.
Well, he should have gone to the arcade and played Final Furlong. It's literally a horse racing game. No one ever played that shit, but it's you sit on a horse. No, like, do that, but no, have him put on pads and get a bat because you know he famously clubbed everyone to death.
Waterloo, that's stuck. It's stuck in my head now. I'm gonna listen to it as soon as the podcast's over.
And he skateboards, so there's all of that. Billy the Kid, Socrates, and Froude. Creep out some girls at the mall, so I think that's why they got arrested. I don't know, but all of the historical figures get arrested.
I don't know why.
Socrates is just like, hey, and the girl's like, hey, he's like, oh, yeah, I can go over there. But he's an old man.
They arrested Socrates.
They're 14 years.
They arrested Socrates for falling down while ice skating. Like, he fell down on the ice, and then the cops came to get him. And I'm like, wait a minute, now that's not, you don't get arrested for that.
We needed them all to be in San Dimas jail. That's why they got arrested. Yeah. So then they all go to San. So my notes on that last one, it was, let's go to the mall. Because I am Robin.
Let's go to the mall,
from...
everybody. Let's go to the mall, everybody. Today.
Is Escape from San Dimas Jail. Because that's from Escape from Dunmore Prison or whatever. I don't know. Fucking
Escape from Dannemora? Hell yeah.
I thought you were going Escape from Los Angeles and Escape from New York with Snake Plissken.
Ben Stiller directed that shit. Incredible. Wow. It was very good. Very,
Arquette's
very good.
Arquette's in it. Yeah. That's why I went with that one. So they're all in jail telling everybody that they are who they say they are. Obviously, no one believes them because it's fucking 1988. Why the fuck would these people? They're crazy.
Yep.
Right.
But then this is where Bill and Ted start laying, our future selves should take the keys and leave them here. Our future selves should remember to grab a tape recorder, record yourself saying some stuff, and leave it in the office so that'll distract your dad. Yeah. Our future selves should just have a garbage can drop out of fucking nowhere onto.
So now we're just time traveling willy nilly back in time and forward in time one day at a time, huh? Like, we're just bing, 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 bing. It seems like it's too much.
It just seems like, yeah, they're like, oh, after we do the presentation, we'll go do all this extra stuff.
Yeah.
To help us now. So it was.
So we did the presentation and like failed, I guess. And then after that, we did all this stuff because it's like you need all these figures to do the presentation. So I'm assuming they just showed up and like bombed the presentation and then went back in time to set themselves up to do it well.
Sure.
Right.
See why I didn't like this movie?
Do you see why I didn't like it?
Yeah, that's where, if you're a stickler on time traveling rules and how things
not
should
not
work.
Not a stickler for a tickler. Not a tickler, stickler.
It starts to get uncomfortable.
I'm going to watch I'm going to watch Back to the Future again. I like the way they did that. there were consequences for what they did. Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
They did this one before that one.
It's true. I don't think that, whatever. It's whatever's on Max is what I look through. Fair. And
whatever's on Max.
Because I can't figure out Netflix because I'm old and I don't know how to fucking search.
Or Tubi or whatever's available. You do. Watch.
I just go into Max's movie section. I go to comedy and I scroll. I then go to drama and I scroll and I look for teens.
Teens.
Okay. So now we are finally at the presentations, which. This is the thing that blew my mind. It appears like they are in the auditorium. So it appears that they are giving these presentations in front of the whole entire school.
Confirmed. Yeah. The whole student body is there for this.
Okay. Yes. So it's not just the grade. It is the whole entire student body has to sit through presentations about the exact same time period for hours is what I've led
for one class period. One class period of history takes over the entire school for the entire day.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how this works.
Sure.
Any complaints? Any questions? Concerns?
No, it's stupid. No,
that's how school works. Yeah, that's how school works.
No, that's never, ever, ever. No, never, never, never. No, that's not how.
Nunca.
You give presentations in front of your class. Maybe if you do really good on one and your teacher's like, I want other people to see this. I think I had to do that once in like middle school. Like, you did really well on this. We're going to make you do it in front of a lot of other people or else we'll be mad at you. Yeah, that happened once. But this is set up weird because no one else uses any of the other, you know,
That's my next question. So everybody else does these real lame ass presentations. One of the football players doesn't sound any fucking smarter than Bill and Ted.
No, he's as dumb as them.
Yeah.
He says San Dimas High football rules and everyone cheers.
Right. Is it based on audience response? Is that where your grade is?
It's like Showtime of the Apollo. Sandman Sims comes out, Kiki Shepherd's there.
There's a band called the Ataris. They have a song called San Dimas High School Football Rules.
So they have the last slot of the day, which I wonder if the teacher did that because like maybe they'll fucking learn something as they sit here and listen.
I don't know.
But they show up just in the nick of time, and oh boy, do they have a production. It is there are lights, I think there's a smoke machine, there are risers.
I'm waiting for a Revenge of the Nerds 2%. I was waiting for it. Didn't happen.
Yeah, no, they've got
for somebody to rap just like Lamar.
Clap your hands. They've got everybody, a therapy
everybody,
couch.
Everybody clap your hands. Yeah.
Lambda, 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 and Omega.
Omega Moon.
You know, they've got a therapy couch for Fru to do his thing. They've got like a full map of Europe circa 15, whatever, for Napoleon to look at.
It's
wild.
Just ready. And I'm guessing that took a lot of failures. All that stuff was collected.
Oh yeah,
over that's several failures, and then it all came together to do.
Are we Groundhog Day?
Yeah, I think their future selves were doing all this to get like preparation.
If we're talking about all the stuff at the jail, all that stuff happening, that's like failure number 4, failure number 6, or failure number 12.
But that's where the clock comes into place. They only have so much time, right?
Do they? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't give a damn.
I just don't know. I don't know how else to explain them having all this stuff ready to go when they
show up
like 2 minutes before the teacher's about to say,
you fail. I'm pretty sure he wrote F's in the book. So they're doing this whole production. Yeah. Each historical figure gets a moment. So I'm thinking an hour, 45 minutes?
At least two hours.
Like, so they're keeping people after school because they were the last slot of the day.
I mean, Ted does a full therapy session. That's at least a half hour. He's talking about his mom and shit. Like, it goes on for a while.
That stuff goes on.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this a little earlier, but it was going through my mind as well. When did they have time? And maybe now it's starting to make sense because they Groundhog Day this. But like, when did they have time to learn about all these people if they're constantly popping in from what we see? They're constantly, they pop in, they steal someone, they go. They pop in, they steal someone, they go. We never see them actually spend any extended time with any of the historical figures, half of whom do not speak English.
That's my thing. Mm. How do they know any of these facts about Joan of Arc's life? Which, fascinating life. She speaks no English. Y'all didn't talk to her. So like, I don't know how they know about any of these people. That's why you got to turn this into Encino Man. We spent all this time, me and Joan of Arc hanging out together, riding skateboards. And I learned a lot about her, but like, no, they didn't do any of that.
Before Rufus showed up, you saw them with a book, but they weren't really reading it. They were just asking people, hey, when was this? When was that? I'm like, that's not how you learn. That's not how that goes.
Sitting in front of the Circle K, just asking passersby things.
But they also had a book.
Here.
Yeah.
Maybe they were reading it in the phone booth and like getting themselves up to date on whoever they were to. I don't know, but they had a book with them, a history book them while they were in the phone booth. So maybe they just learned it over the course of however long that was, 12 hours.
But that's the part that concerns me, that like, how did the historical figure not go like, well, what does my section say?
Yep.
You know, like,
oh, so I should not
died?
Go
when? Where?
Turns out invading Russia in winter is a bad idea.
I was banished to where?
To Elba.
Banished to Elba.
I came back. Where? That's neat.
Where?
Joan of Arc, don't read your part. It ends real tragically in like a week for you.
That's great. Like, you're almost there. Do you know what the Dauphin is? You probably don't know what the Dauphin is yet, but you
will. It's going to get real hot for you, man.
That can be real good for you.
You don't want to do this.
Yeah, so that was kind of like really weird to me. And then also like, we never get a sense of what people in the auditorium actually think is happening. Do they think these are actors? They just put on this really bomb-ass production.
At first, yes.
Have to.
When Billy the Kid showed up, like, oh, that's fucking stupid. They hired a Billy the Kid. And then he fires a gun.
Shoots a gun. And they're all like, what?
And they're like, whoa, it's real. This is awesome. It's real. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to think that Bill and Ted just hired actors. Like, you have to think. And then you go, so that you hired actors who don't even speak English? Like, why'd you do that?
So that's
who speaks English?
Just the teachers aside, just going to them like, wow, their commitment that they got all of these actors to be. Wow.
They paid what commitment of dollars.
Exactly. I just need one quick little aside, because I was just like, do people literally, because the crowd is going wild at this point. The kids are fucking loving it. They end with Lincoln. He's like, these guys are awesome. But we never
party
get
on
a, like,
dudes is what Lincoln says. Yeah.
You know, like, we never get anybody just going like, wow, these people really committed to their roles.
Yeah. We didn't get any of that.
That's all I needed.
Yeah.
We don't get it. The presentation, I don't even actually, do we actually see the teacher write an A+ on the paper? I truly don't know.
No. We're just assume that they got an A+.
Because then the movie just like, that section ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're at them in the garage, and all's great. We never see them having to like scurry everybody back, which I think could have been a funny little like, give me 5 minutes where they're just like,
during the whole presentation, obviously nothing lines up. There's a clapping happening and people reacting. Nothing makes any kind of sense. You see their dads in the back next to the teacher, like, oh, wait, what's going on with our son? And then by the end, they're like, yes, this is an amazing presentation. Oh my God. They completely forgotten about all the, you know, breaking all these people out of jail and all that. Uh-huh. They forgot about all that stuff. And when he talks about
nice little bow,
I just have a slight Oedipal complex, and then his stepmom's like, oh, well, I'm pretty hot. I understand. I guess,
but no, because Ted said he had the Oedipal complex.
No, like, Bill says it.
That was Bill. Okay,
no,
good.
Bill says it. He's like, well, because Freud's like, you wanna lay down? You wanna talk about it? He's like, it's a slight Oedipal complex, dude.
Cut to his hot stepmom who says, call me mom.
And she's like, what?
Exclusively says, call me mom.
I get it. So
fucking weird. Weird.
But then everything's fine.
The babes come back.
They return everybody back to time, or back to the correct time. Rufus shows up again and brings them better instruments. Also bring the girls.
I hate those guitars with the no headstock. With the no headstock guitar, to me, looks so ugly and unfinished.
They're a pain to deal with too.
I'm sure. Strings, it's gotta be a fucking nightmare to tune one of those. Like, no, fuck that.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're stupid.
Okay,
dumb.
Well, in the movie's perspective, he brings them better instruments.
Yes.
Ted had a Fender. He was doing fine.
Also brings the girls, and they're like, we looked all over for you. We went back so many times. And Rufus is like, oh, no, I took them before they had to marry the
harbor.
But I'm like,
or whatever.
Well, if the boys had to go back in time a bunch of times to put everybody back, and they said they went a bunch of times and looked for them, how did they not wind up going the same time?
I don't know. Okay. These are great questions.
I know. Yeah, I'm overthinking this film, but
gonna go back in time. Yeah.
And they also drop in that the Babes are now better in version. The band. Better version. So yeah. I guess it's ABBA right now. I mean it's two girls and two guys. You get Talking Heads, I think, was also kind of similar to that. There's a couple girls, a couple guys. What do they play? We didn't see them. How about you have Beethoven be in the band with you guys? Fuck Eddie Van Halen. You have Beethoven on keys.
Drums and keyboards were the leaders.
Yeah, they were.
You got two
drums and keys.
Guitarist plus.
No one plays bass, huh?
Rufus.
No, yeah. I'm offended. No. I mean, you need a bass in your band with black keys.
If you have a keyboard player and they have a good right hand, you're fine.
I guess. Well, Geddy Lee plays both at the same time, so.
True. Yeah.
I think in the second film we get to see. At this time, we do not know a second film is coming.
Right.
But
weird that it happened, actually.
To see later the band and the really great music they start to play.
Yeah. Well, that's where they get their basis because they have Death on Bass.
Is it left? No, yeah. left. I'm turned around. I'm facing.
I can't play keys.
No, it's left. Left is the lower keys. Do ba do ba do ba do ba do ba do.
Yeah, I was about to say when you were like right hand, I was left, like, I don't think that's correct. Yeah,
that's because I'm facing someone who's looking at their music. I'm like, oh yeah, that hand. I'm an idiot. Oh,
okay, that's what it is. That's what
I'm
it is.
A dummy.
Oh boy.
I'm a dummy.
All right.
Well, we did it.
Yeah, we did it.
In time with Bill and Ted.
All right. One of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was the start of big things, the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. Dana, who you got to dive on this week?
Okay, so there aren't a lot of teens in this film.
Almost none.
Just the two leads and Deacon. And then maybe the mom. Unclear how old she actually is. And I think we started to talk about when Dave was like, there's nobody in this movie of note. And now, of course, I think I said I was going to do her. Yeah. So Joan of Arc, who I believe is actually a teenager in the past, right? Isn't she supposed to be young?
She died at 14, I think, or 17.
17. Okay.
Yeah. Started her army at 14, died at 17.
Yeah. Joan of Arc is a young woman. Mm-hmm. In this film, she's played by Jane Wheedlin of the Go-Go's, who at this point was 30 years old.
She looks young, though. She's got a youthful look about her. Yeah,
she does look young. So I was like, I know this person. So I looked it up. Her face looked very familiar to me. So she obviously gets her start in the Go-Go's, and a lot of her first IMDb credits are the Go-Go's music videos up until Vacation. About 1985. Where she is in Clue as the singing telegram girl. I've never seen Clue, but Dave is familiar with that. Then
she has a little hat. It's great.
She does a couple of her own music videos in 85. She is in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, as an alien communications officer.
Wow.
87 was a big year for her if we're filming things, because it would have been Bill and Ted's, even though this would come out to 89.
Uh-huh.
Sleeping Beauty, and again, another one of her own music videos. Then she's in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, another music video. She does a voice on Tom and Jerry's Kids Show in 1992. We got more Go-Go stuff in 94. I think she winds up doing a lot of voice work, because then she's in the new Batman series as Miranda Kane. She's in a video game in 99, Lands of Miranda War 3. Kine.
Miranda Kine.
She winds up being a voice on something called Pinky, Elmira, and the Brain.
They brought in Elmira, huh? Which one was Elmira? Was Elmira the little girl?
Pinky and the Brain.
I don't feel like clicking on the image, so I don't know. Yes. She was in Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost. She's on an episode, two episodes of King of the Hill as Kate.
Hmm.
She just went up lending her voice to a lot of cartoons, and it does wind up being like the start of a decent acting career. She is also very famous for being in the Go-Go's. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was interesting. I was like, hey, one of the chicks from the Go-Go's is in this film. And yeah, she has some credits. She still has some In 2020, she was on Scooby-Doo and Guess Who as the voice of Dusk. Whomever that is.
Did you talk about her on The Surreal Life?
Was she
on The Surreal Life?
She was on the season, the one with like Vern Troyer and Christopher Knight.
Yeah,
so that would be as
as herself. It's different, but that I remember that season, just being like, let me just sit over here while this other shit happens. She was very normal while
that
everyone
show
else
was nuts,
losing their fucking minds.
That show was so fucking weird.
Yeah, she was on 10 episodes of The Surreal Life in 2005. She was on Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List. So she has a lot of appearances as herself. Also, she was on RuPaul's Drag Race. Drag You. I love that show.
Mm. Yeah, I always feel bad for the Go-Go's because they get mentioned in the same breath as the Bangles, and that pisses them off so much. Because, we were like a legit, like, new wave punk band. We were like a real band, and the Bangles were like cooked up in a fucking lab and pushed out to be like us. Like, they get really mad about it, which I get, because
Bangles kind
of whack. Go-Go's were legit.
Was putting his little magic on it. Was up in the Paisley Park with Susanna Huffs.
Up there with, Diamond and Pearl. Right, so that does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's sending out some superlatives. I can just do them for Bill and Ted here, and they don't have any fucking character development. So Bill and Ted are most likely to sue Kel Mitchell for basing Ed from Good Burger on them without proper attribution. Like, it's the same fucking thing. I know nothing about these guys. I don't know where they're going to go in the future. They gave me nothing to fucking work with here. This next movie is Dave's pick. Dave, who are we going to watch next?
I found one. It came out during a time when I would have been watching movies like this. It's stars a gentleman who had passed away recently, who I think I'm a big fan of this guy, Anton Yelchin, who played, he was in a Star Trek film. He did a good Russian accent, and been in a ton of other movies, passed away very, very tragically. Kat Dennings, Robert Downey Jr., I've heard about this movie, never actually seen it. It's on streaming on Tubi, which sounds great.
The fuck movie?
Good
is
for
this?
All that. Charlie Bartlett from 2007. Yelchin plays a kid having some tough times at home, just decides, I'm going to be a shrink to other kids at school, talks to people like through their problems while his life is falling apart. And never heard of it.
Never heard of this.
I've heard of it.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Robert Downey. Yeah. Junior.
I mean,
RDJ.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And Drake is in this movie, too.
Oh, God damn it. Wheelchair in the ass.
And a bunch of people from, it was a Degrassi thing. I think it was filmed in Canada and they got Degrassi people.
The only celebrity I legit hate on is Drake. I hate on Drake in a way that is probably uncomfortable for Drake fans. I fucking hate that dude. I hate his voice. One of our very good friends, Bobby Lesh, is a Drake stan, and I will never forgive him for that. I remember we were at band practice right after, I think he had a verse on Bedrock, and like right after Bedrock came out, he's like, hey, have you heard this guy Drake? And I'm like, yeah, man, he has the wrong fucking mentor. If he hangs out with Jay-Z, he'll be the best rapper of all time, but he hangs out with Lil Wayne, so he's not going to go fucking anywhere. Yeah, I'm like, he's not going to develop. And lo and behold, he still makes the same whiny-ass shit he made back then. Guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, read it, leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recap and Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recap and Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Bill, you medieval dickweed. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.